Thy strong word, we praise you and acknowledge you up through endless ranks of angels. Hi, this is Pastor Will Wheaton, inviting you to join us for our hymn sing at the 2026 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. This year's theme, Singing the Ancient Faith in Our Own Days. Making the Case is Friday, June 12th and Saturday, June 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org.
God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. For me, your Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be.
Thank you. A reading from Matthew chapter 22. The same day, Sadducees came to him who say that there is no resurrection. And they asked him a question, saying, "Teacher, Moses said if a man dies having no children, his brother must marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers among us. The first married and died, and having no children, left his wife to his brother. So too the second and the third, down to the seventh. After them all, the woman died. In the resurrection, therefore, of the seven, whose wife will she be? For they all had her." But Jesus answered them, "You are wrong, because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And as for the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was said to you by God? I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living." And when the crowd heard it, they were astonished at his teaching. O Lord, have mercy upon us. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, and whose sin is put away.
He was delivered up through death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins.
He was delivered up through death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's always at least a little bit concerning when the congregation rallies around the bad guys in the text. But it's hard to deal with the gospel reading without at least somebody real concerned that Jesus taking away marriage in the resurrection has got to be breaking some kind of rule somewhere. So we know how to teach it. There will be no need for marriage then. The saints will be like the angels, holy. It's a question more of what marriage was given for in the first place, chiefly as an image of Christ and the church. And second, for procreation, especially that the promised seed of Eve would be brought forth. And finally, as a place for desire to be met that is not sinful. In the resurrection, those needs will have passed. But the Sadducees live by sight and not by promise. And so looking around at all there is to lose, it's easier at this point for these religious men to imagine a world that is so cruel that there would be a woman widowed seven times over than it would be for them to conceive of a God who would take flesh to conquer death. For they know not the scriptures nor the power of God. So, yes, they disavow the resurrection. They lived luxuriously as opposed to the Pharisees because you take what you can now. Because, to be fair, at least from the view down here, the God of the living seems to make a lot of widows. So the Sadducees had it figured out. Treat yourself where you can, because it all gets taken away eventually. And that's the real fear under all of it. It is the reason why the Jesus who says there is no marriage in the resurrection isn't treated all that differently from the Jesus who says there is a resurrection in the first place. Even more so than blasphemous, he comes across as threatening to all that the Sadducees really hope for anyway. Their power, their wealth, the things they know deep down won't last, but they're the best we can come up with under the circumstances. And that's why this text is met with more than a little bit of trepidation today as well. Nobody's pushing against this because they are just really hoping for that clear picture of Christ and the church on that last great day. They're worried that it makes them farther from their spouse. They're concerned because it makes the resurrection sound like less. That there would be just one more thing to be taken away, and this one precious. And so even though everyone knows that the Sadducees are the bad guys, even if it's just because their name ends with E's, make a good point there, Pastor. And it's almost like we're guarding something from Jesus, lest he come and take it away like a thief in the night, which is just not a threat that some folks can bear, because all of us are doing our best, and most of us are quietly losing. Losing to the sins that rip marriages in half, either slowly by a thousand little cuts or by one great transgression. Losing to deaths that show up altogether too sudden or very, very painfully slow. And it's scary, this thought of losing more than you already have. So like the Sadducees who see Christ, who is the resurrection and the life, as a threat to the way of life that they want, the idol of marriage can become something that we try to guard from him, lest he come and take it away. Because there are hard days that feel very hopeless, and there are days when you want to hold tight to everything, lest you lose just one more thing that you are afraid you cannot endure without. An old Adam doesn't want a resurrection if it means that he has to die first. And the new Adam doesn't promise a life that is free from death, but one that death cannot destroy. So know the scriptures. The book was not given to reveal Levirate marriage as a backup plan for a legacy, but the resurrection in Christ. And if you think that the resurrection, where all things are made new and perfect, will somehow take this relationship, which has struggles that are best left to the seal of confession, and somehow make it less, you're doing it wrong. And if you have to protect your marriage from Jesus, who is the bridegroom, as the church, who is his bride, then the institution that you're trying so hard to protect was probably faulty before you ever tried to live up to the picture that it would paint. So know the power of God. For the power wasn't an ordered society amidst death and decay for those who had figured out the truth, but the undoing of the last great enemy. Know the Word made flesh for you. For the scriptures and the power of God are not two separate things. For the Word does not simply describe what ought to be, or even one day will, but it takes flesh to enact it. To suffer your sins, to die your death, to win for you your life. And it was for Abraham, who was dead, and for Isaac, who is dead, for Jacob, who is dead, for the husbands of all too many widows, for the widows, and for you. Christ has died for you. But the God that we happen to have is God of the living. And in so dying, he has destroyed death. So the dead can't really stay dead anymore, can they? And Christ can't really stay dead anymore, can he? And the God of the living who dies, does so that life would be more than 80 years full of hardship and loss. Christ has died for you. Your sins are forgiven. The thousand little ones that add up, the one greatest one, your sins are forgiven you. And your death is undone. All of it has been brought to nothing here. And there is a resurrection now. You're not allowed to stay dead anymore. He is God of the living now. And so what sin and death would do to marriage is not allowed to have the last say either. That person, the one you still struggle with, afraid that it will all end, that one that you were joined to but sin has rent apart, the one who you held fast to but death has driven a wedge, you will see in all of the same holiness There, in the same saving faith, sins are not allowed to stay unforgiven in the resurrection. Death is not allowed to have the last word. Nothing is allowed to stay broken anymore, for he is not the God of the dead, but the living, which includes Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, who are not somehow less for being on the other side of glory where they now rest. So why would your marriage be any different on the last great day? He does not make that relationship less, but more. You will live with your spouse in holiness and honor, in joy and peace. Your bridegroom presents the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Jesus is not here to rob you of your marriage, but to be the fulfillment of all that it would point to, that you can have peace and rest, that you would not be alone. For he is the God of the living, who takes your death and your sin, that you would live free from all of it. Today, we get a resurrection text in Passiontide. A glimpse of the resurrection in Passiontide is sort of like a glimpse of the resurrection with that person that you love the most. Maybe it's dark now. Maybe what somebody wants is a band-aid, because they know neither the scriptures nor the power of God, and they dream for more. Maybe there are hard days, and days that feel very hopeless, and days where you want to hold tight to everything, lest you lose just one more thing that you are afraid that you can't. But instead you get Jesus. You get the cross. But even in Passiontide, you know that Easter will come soon. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.
Yeah.
In our prayers, we give thanks to God for the birth of a son, August Friedrich Maximilian, born to seminarian Nicholas and Casey Totenhagen. We also pray for the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Finland and its bishop, the Reverend Johanna Pohjola, along with Päivi Räsänen, a member of the Finnish Parliament, who lost their case for religious liberty before the Finnish Supreme Court. O Lord, hear my prayer.
And let my cry come to you.
Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, you sent your own Son into this world as the child of Mary. We thank you for the life of this child, August, entrusted to our care. Bring him to the saving waters of holy baptism and grant to him that precious inheritance awaiting him in your eternal kingdom. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, you promised your disciples, saying, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father in heaven." Grant, we pray, strength and courage to all who make the bold confession of your truth, including those in Finland who have undergone sustained attacks for speaking your will concerning matters of human sexuality. Renew their faith and strengthen their resolve. And grant us all courage to profess your saving gospel with all boldness. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.